So Jeremy Sloop will come on up. Let's give him a round. Amen, buddy. I'll get it for you.
Yeah. There we are. How's everybody doing? Thank you. Everybody have a heavy lunch? I know how these conferences are. We just had one last week. Like 9 meetings in 3 days. You know, it's a lot of. We like our meetings. We like going to our meeting. But by the time you get to the end, it's like, oh my gosh, I need to take a vacation. It's funny, I've learned, you know, in the Bethel circles, I've learned a key to being successful in ministry. There's so many wise men and wise fathers that we have access to and that we get to hear from. I've learned to listen to them. And the key is just plagiarize what they say. Just steal it. Plagiarism. It's wonderful. We just had Bill Johnson come last week. Everybody here know Bill Johnson? You know who that is? And Joseph Garlington out of Pittsburgh. So I just got filled up with all kinds of tidbits and wise things. So I'm topped off and ready.
That's good.
To spot them back to you here. And then with Steve, you know, I've probably heard Steve preach hundreds, thousands of times. Thousands and thousands of times. So it goes beyond just plagiarism with Steve. It's, you know, it's almost gotten to the point where, and listen, you know, Aaron said something this morning about Leif Heitland and how he tried to be like him and preach like him, and then he realized that he needed to be himself. And I get that, and I honor that. But there's something happening right now where the people that you see up here that have come from Bethel, which, by the way, I hope we've blessed you, you know, this weekend. I hope that's our heart, to come down here and stir you up, ignite fires, and just be a blessing.
Yeah.
So I hope we've done that, and I got to say that you guys have certainly done that to us. I mean, we feel like family, you know, so thank you for your hospitality. We've been, you know, taken out to great meals and had some great conversations and just really taken care of well. I think I speak for all of us when I say we feel richly welcomed. So thank you. Thank you, Ron, and everybody for that. But anyways, with us, with Steve and Joel and these guys up here, it's gotten to a point where our hearts are synchronized and they burn for the same things, okay? So it's almost like, it's funny, we were laughing about it last night, when Joel stood up during worship to minister in healing, which was powerful, by the way, Steve and I both looked at each other and we were thinking the exact same thing. We're like, oh God. One, we're thinking, who gave him the microphone? And they really don't know what they were getting into, because we could be doing healing till midnight. So that was the first thought that we were both thinking. Okay. And two, he's going to preach your message. And then he's going to preach my message. That's what we thought. And we just looked at each other and we knew that's what we were both thinking. So then Steve gets up to preach, right? And how many of you were here last night? Most of you, I'm assuming. Did you like the message last night?
Yeah.
Was it good? It's good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, it was agonizing. Okay, because listen, I'm sitting up here in the front row. I know I got to speak today, right? I know that our hearts are synced. So as he's up here navigating around, I'm like, oh, no, 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 don't go there, don't go there. Stay away from that. And then he sort of grazes it, and then he goes somewhere else. I'm like, okay, good, stay there. Okay, now he's talking about Florence, Italy. I don't have anything to say about Florence, Italy, so talk about Florence. And then he goes back and he shares the prophetic words about Ohio, and I knew he was going to do that. I knew he was going to do that, so I just conceded that. So then, it was like a roller coaster, sitting up here watching him, and he was getting to the end. I think he was on his third closing, okay? And I'm like, all right, I'm pretty safe. He touched, he did take my Abraham and Lot story with the 10 righteous people, but that's okay. I can work around that. I think we're safe here, right? And then it was the third or fourth closing, and he got me. He got me right at the end. He got me. And listen, before the service, I sent Lisa an email with a picture, a photograph. Okay, you remember when he talked about the USA Today newspaper that said Cleveland Rising? Okay, before the service, and we don't prepare together, we don't talk, about what we're going to share, but I sent this to Lisa, and I said, I want you to put this up during my message, because this is going to be my big grand finale when I talk about Cleveland is rising, and it was in USA Today last summer. There it is. There's the newspaper that he was talking about. Cleveland Rising, right on the front page, 7/9/14. So, I might as well just show it to you now. It was right at the very end. I almost made it through. But it just goes to show you that there is a message that has been burned on our hearts that I think is very important for the state right now. It's exciting. Everybody feels it in the air, like he talked about last night. There's something in the air. There's something brewing. You don't need to be a prophet anymore to know that a move of God is coming to the state. We've gotten the words. We know it. It's no surprise. You can feel it. We've been prepared for it. It's good. It's good. So what I want to do this morning... Oh, this afternoon, I'm sorry. This afternoon, I'm all mixed up. What I want to do is I want to give, Scripture says, freely you've received, freely give. I want to give what I have, okay? It's important to know, to understand the principle of giving what you have. You know, Scripture says one man has this gift, another has that. In order to give something, you need to have it to give, right? So it's important for each of us to know what we're carrying, what our experiences, our battles, our victories, our testimonies, all these things have put tools in our arsenal and have given us gifts that you may need. And you may have something that I need. So what I'm going to do this afternoon is I'm going to share a testimony. Share just one testimony. It's a big one. But it's just one testimony, okay? And it's about God moving on a city. And then I'm going to pray, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray that God moves on more cities and changes more cities, okay? Because that's another thing about Bethel. I love Bethel, by the way. You're going to hear me talk about it a lot. You're going to hear me plagiarize it a lot. Bethel loves testimonies. They love testimonies. In fact, when Bill was here last week, can I get a water? I think here's mine right here. Got it. When Bill Johnson was here last week, I think by the end he was tired too, because the last session, he didn't preach for 1 minute. Okay? All he did was for about 20 minutes, he shared testimonies of healing, different people getting healed, right? shared a bunch of testimonies, and then we prayed for the sick. And in fact, I have to say that every time I see him minister healing, he always starts with testimonies. As far as I can remember, I don't know if he's probably has done it without it, but every time I see him, he starts with testimonies, and he's very intentional about it. Okay? Because what happens is, if you hear a testimony of somebody that, say, has arthritis and was healed, or carpal tunnel syndrome, or, you know, a knee problem and they were healed, when you hear that, hope arises in you. And it's like, wow, if he saw somebody healed of carpal tunnel, maybe tonight's my night. Maybe I can get healed. And it becomes real. And then all of a sudden, faith builds. And then all of a sudden, miracles pop. It works. You know, in fact, they teach and they believe that testimony, I think the word testimony literally means do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. So he does it. He starts with testimonies and then ministers healing. Honestly, it's like cheating. It is. It makes it that much easier. Oh, you have this condition? We saw somebody healed of that condition last month. There's hope, there's faith, boom, miracles. He uses testimonies as a weapon in order for the Lord to do it again. For us, for our faith. Okay? So, here's how that applies. Okay? And don't take this the wrong way, okay? When somebody gets healed, that's awesome. I love it. I have compassion. I am excited that their life is forever changed and they've been touched by the power of God. I have compassion on them and everything, okay? But I hate to say it, I'm just being real. I almost get bored with the healing testimonies, all right? It's almost like if I hear one more story about somebody's leg grew out. You guys ever hear that one or see it happen? It happens all the time, right? And don't get me wrong, it's awesome. That person, their life is forever changed for the better. And they just encountered God, okay? But what I'm saying is that's happened so many times now that I'm no longer impressed by it. And I don't think the angels are either. We rejoice with them, okay? But we're to move from glory to glory. Okay? And in fact, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It means there's more and we want more. All right? So what I am saying is, if Bill Johnson can do that with healing, if he can share testimonies and then pray for people and say, do it again, Lord. You know, because it's almost become a routine. It's almost like, this is how we do this. This, you know, here's the testimony, pray for you, healed, awesome. Okay? But there is so much more we could do with the testimonies beyond individual healing. You know, so if that works for him, can't I tell you a testimony about God shifting the atmosphere of a city? And then can't we say, do it again, Lord?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Doesn't that make sense? Same idea. It's the power of the testimony. So that's what we're going to do. And I'll tell you what, you know, I've had the privilege not only of seeing, getting to watch the Holy Spirit move so far. And here's the other thing. By no means am I saying that we've attained anything. Like Paul says, we've not attained it, but we press on. Right? We're not there yet. But I can stand up here and tell you that we have seen shifts in Cleveland, Ohio. They've been prophesied. We've been pregnant together. And we've seen the atmosphere shift. Okay, and not only do we get to be spectators and we get a front row seat, but we get to participate. That's how good God is. He's like, I want you to play a role in this. So we've been blessed to see something that, I don't want to use the word epic because I feel like everybody says epic all the time. But it really is. It's epic. It's a new thing. You know, Bill Johnson said last week, he said, what the Lord is doing in our state, it's a combination of a reformation, an awakening, and a renaissance. So it's a refer-wake-a-sance. A refer-wake-a-sance. That's more plagiarism for you. But it's good. At least I give him credit. Yeah. Right? And Steve talked about it last night. It's in the air, you know. So, we've been all over Ohio. We've driven through. I drive through cities in Ohio, you know, just like Marion, you know, Youngstown, Lorain, Cleveland, Akron. You drive through all these places, right? And even though we have had, you know, every prophetic person and their mother come through, every single one of them come through and give us huge, gigantic, epic words, right? You still drive through and it's like there's that the realism sets in. And it's like, where's all the life at? It's like, man, there's a lot of empty buildings around here. Where's the businesses? There's a lot of boarded up houses. Right? You know, and I believe that Ohioans in the past several years, I believe our hearts have been prepared and really that you've been made tough. We've been made tough. There's a resilience that has come. There's a persistence. There's a grittiness, right, that we have in this state that I believe has been burned into us. That's a good thing. Okay? But Steve mentioned the word about Rick Joyner saying he named 11 cities that would be end time moves of God or end time cities of refuge. 11. He was supposed to name 12 cities, but he named 11 cities and then the state of Ohio. 11 cities in one state. That's big. It's a big time word from a big time guy. Right? Bob Jones and the Gulliver word. That's huge. You know, he said Gulliver was the sleeping giant. Right? Cleveland was the head. Columbus was the heart. Cincinnati was the loins. You know, and the arms were Philadelphia. I forget. But, you know, there was this giant that was awakening, and it was really the axis of it was in the state of Ohio. We've had other ones. We could talk about prophetic words of Ohio all afternoon and all night. You know, and they're good, and maybe we should do that. You know, but we're not short on huge prophetic promises. We got them. Everybody knows, right? I would like to add something, though. I believe, okay? So, I find myself asking the question, okay, those are awesome and that's great, but why Ohio? Why? All right? I believe that there is a prophetic message in the fact that this move is coming to our state, uniquely our state. All right? When I look at a map of the United States, Ohio sticks out, just sticks out to me. It just strikes me as the heart of the country. It looks like America's heart. In fact, I was driving through Columbus one time and I had a prophetic experience. I was just minding my own business, driving through Columbus, and it was like the heavens opened and I saw this geographical map and then I saw, instead of Ohio, there was a heart beating. Okay. Ohio, I believe Ohio is America's heart. And I believe that the Lord means to take Ohio, that He means to move in Ohio in such a way to make a prophetic statement that America's heart is mine. America's heart belongs to me. He's prophesying to the whole country. He didn't just pick Ohio. He didn't just like spin the wheel and say, he did throw darts. He didn't throw darts at the map of America and it landed on Ohio. It's a prophetic word. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So our backyard is Cleveland. And you guys know Cleveland, right? You've heard of it? Been there, maybe? Cleveland has been an epitome, a prototype, you know, of the Ohio City, in the sense that it's been a mess up until very recently. It's just been a mess of a city. You know, we've been the butt of jokes. You know, for 50 years, our economic base and our population shrank for 50 straight years. You know, and to the point where the city was on life support. That's what it felt like. You know, and it was even more than that. There was a spiritual dynamic to it where, you know, everybody, the heart of the city became cynical and wounded and almost hopeless. You know, just, oh, nothing good's going to happen here. Oh, the economy's tough and the winter's tougher. That was sort of the mindset. You know, and we were a city of ridicule, really. We had a lake that was eerie, a tower that was terminal, a river that was crooked. You know, it was almost the butt of jokes for the country. Remember the movie Major League that came out about the Cleveland Indians? You know, it was just kind of a laughable place. River caught on fire, crooked politicians. You name it, everything. Listen, if you want a good picture of the heart of Cleveland, look at the sports teams of the last 50 years. That's a picture of us. You know, there's this futility almost, that it's like, oh, they give you just enough to get excited and then bam, knock you back down one more year around the mountain. Next year, here we go. You know, heartbreak after heartbreak, baptism after baptism. You know, I'm trying to convey to you the heart of the city. Okay? And I think you guys get it because it's in Ohio. In the midst of all this, we're getting our awesome prophetic words. Cleveland, we're getting our own specific words. Good ones. Big, fat, juicy ones. You know, one of the ones that I think marked our city, from what I've seen, more than any others, is when Heidi Baker came in 2009. And Steve mentioned it last night, but she came and, you know, and she said, "You guys are pregnant with promise. It's time to push. Hundreds of thousands are going to be swept in the kingdom of God, but you're pregnant right now. You're 9 months pregnant and you need to push." And when she said, and she's not known for prophesying over cities, really. But she let it rip. Man, she let it rip. And like, everybody could just feel the weight of that. And it marked us. That word marked us as a church, as a city, really. Impact-wise, it was just off the charts. So she said, "We're pregnant." Okay? And I believe that in the midst of this culture, this heart of the city being cynical, being critical, being wounded, hardened, you know, the Lord was raising up a remnant of people who flew right in the face of that. The Lord was raising up a remnant that were filled with hope and that wanted to believe that God could change their city radically. That Jesus could turn it around. And you start to see these people emerging that were almost swimming against the grain. They were swimming up the river. It's like the whole river, the whole Cleveland River was going this way, and then there's these people that are swimming this way. In the midst of everything. So what happened is, and here's the deal, you know, I'm not gonna pretend to understand. Oh, thank you. I'm not going to pretend to understand how this works any more than I would pretend to understand how, you know, metal disappears in your body when you get prayed for, or how somebody that's in a wheelchair can walk. You know, I think that a lot of it is a mystery. But I just want to tell you how it went down. I want to tell you what we saw, what we went through, what we lived through, because it's a great story. Okay? I remember another time, Heidi Baker's assistant came to Bethel. Her name was Shara. And at this time, Bill Johnson just came out with his book, Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. He just came out with the book. Steve was teaching a Bible class, a Bible study called Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. There were other prophets that had spoken to us and gave us a word, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Okay, so now Shara comes over from Africa. She has no, you know, ties, communication, no idea of any of this. And she comes and she says, I got a word from you guys last week when I was in the bush, you know, praying for some witch doctors. And she said, here's the word, you ready? The word is, the Lord says, strengthen yourself in the Lord. And the whole place, I remember the meeting, the whole place erupted. Our whole church erupted. And we're like, yeah, everybody immediately recognized that it was right in line with everything that was happening. This is what God was speaking to us. It was clear. It was crystal clear. Okay? But I kind of took a step back, and I was like, okay, everybody's excited because God is speaking, but do you really understand what that word means? You remember when the Lord spoke that to David? It was in Ziklag. That was when he just got defeated. His wife, his family was kidnapped. All his men's family were kidnapped. All their stuff was plundered and taken. And his men were about to mutiny and stone him. That's when he got the words, and David strengthens himself in the Lord. So Shara comes and says, strengthen yourself in the Lord. And everybody's, yeah, woohoo, strengthen yourself in the Lord. But that means Ziklag is coming. And to be honest with you, Ziklag came. You know, there's lots of different ways to say it, and there's lots of different lenses to look through. But, I mean, you could say we all got pregnant. You could say we went to Ziklag. But several people, several leaders, and several of my friends, just lots of people throughout the church, even just people at the church, we all got pregnant together. And by pregnant, I mean we were stretched. We were pregnant with the transformation of a city. We were all pregnant together, all at the same time. And it was heavy, and it was stretching, and it was uncomfortable. I remember having coffee meetings with Steve at that time, and it was like, how you doing, Steve? And he was like, how you doing, Jeremy? It was a rough season. Rough. I mean, he's spoken about it before publicly, so I could share it. He went through cancer, life-threatening cancer. Joel went through something very similar at the same time with his wife. My journey was financial and economic, and it was in business, and I was in a situation where I went for weeks and weeks and weeks working my tail off and not getting a paycheck. Just not getting paid. Not only that, but, you know, I was running a business and I had to deal with guys coming after me because they're barely getting paid, and then lawsuits, and then unhappy customers, and then it was like a deluge. It was like fighting a waterfall. It's like fighting against the waterfall for years. You know, and it got to the point with all of us, okay, where the only weapon we had, the only defense we had was hope. That's it. We were stripped down to hope. Okay? And it came to where It was hope against hope. And it was hard just to hang on to the idea, to the hope that God's going to break through in this. As the days and weeks went by and the battle continued, you know, I had people working for me from Bethel. From Bethel, believers caught the vision. They were working with me. They left and they said, I think the Lord is saying that this business needs to die and you need to start a new one. They gave up hope. They quit on the hope. And I said, thank you. See you later. But it was that hard to hang on, to cling. You had to cling to the slightest ounce of hope. You guys remember this season? It wasn't too long ago. It's funny, there's a nickname for Cleveland during the Underground Railroad days, and it was the City of Hope. Cleveland was called Hope. Because if slaves made it to Cleveland, they knew that all they had to do was cross over the lake, get to Canada, and they were free. So they called it, when they got to Cleveland, they called it, we've arrived at Hope. Okay? Thank you. People keep giving me, bringing me things. That's nice. I like that. So, Cleveland Hope, right? We're all pregnant. We're all stretched, you know, in very serious, very, I would call it the most difficult time of my life, and I know that other people in this room would. Okay? And then something happened. And I can point to the week that it happened. Okay, but let me say this first. Steve talked about the story of Abraham and Sodom last night, right? And how the Lord said to Abraham, if you find 10 righteous people, I will spare the city. Okay? It's a very interesting story and concept. And he even referred to teachings, Hebraic teachings that are out there, principles that are drawn from this story as well as others in the Old Testament, which believe that one Jew in a city could cover or spare, I think, 10,000 people. Is it 10,000 or 100,000 people? It's something like that. But there's teaching on this, that one Jewish person in a city or 10 Jewish people in a city can spare 100,000 people. Right? It's the idea of being salt. All right. Now, I believe that we're a part of a new covenant. It's a better covenant. And I believe that remains true. I believe that principle remains true with Christians as well. I believe that the presence of Christians in a city can spare a city. But I'll take it one step further. And by the way, I heard Rick Joyner say, hold on, let me chew my thing here. Give me a sec. Talk amongst yourselves. I heard Rick Joyner teach on this story. He said that a better translation for 10 righteous men, for that righteous man, is champion of righteousness. So, if you find 10 champions of righteousness, I will spare that city. Okay? Let's throw that through the cross, through the lens of the New Testament, all the way up through modern times into 2015. Let's apply that principle to today. Okay? Not only do I believe that 10 champions of righteousness can spare a city, but I believe that the Lord is looking. And He's saying, if I find 10 champions of righteousness in this city, I will bless that city. Yeah. I will break through. It's not about sparing it from fire, from the sky. But if 10 champions of righteousness get raised up in Marion, I'm going to break through in Marion. And I'm going to shift the atmosphere in Marion. And I'm going to bless the city and the businesses, and life is going to return to that city. That's what I think. That's what I think the Lord is speaking to us right now at this hour, and that's how I interpret that story through the cross. Hear this, if you hear nothing else, okay? I believe the key to changing cities is champions. Let me say it this way. Cities cannot be changed without champions. Cities are changed by champions of righteousness. Okay? They shift the atmosphere. And it's not through planning or working. It's not like, all right, there's these champions here now and we're going to plan a crusade, we're going to rent out a stadium, and we're going to do that stuff. That stuff is good, but it's not something that's done by our hands. Okay? Champions become champions. And in fact, champions are proven. And then the atmosphere shifts. That's the thing about being a champion or becoming a champion. In order to do that, by definition, you have to win something. Champions are proven. And you can point to several in Scripture. I could argue that Abraham, when the Lord told him to sacrifice your son, right? And he did it. He obeyed God. He defied reason and logic and every ounce of his emotion, and he chose to obey God. I believe he became a champion in that instance. His faith was proven. Remember, Scripture says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He became a champion of righteousness. And what happened was a shift that affected, really, the whole history of the world. When Abraham did that, the Lord said, okay, you did it. You passed. You won. I'm shifting things now and I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Nations were shifted when Abraham became a champion. You see that? You could even look at the cross through this lens. You could say that Jesus became the champion of heaven when he obeyed unto death. He conquered death. Right? And at that moment, the planet shifted. Death was conquered, and all he has to do is wait for earth to be made a footstool. His enemies to be brought under his feet. Champions shift cities. Cities can't be shifted without champions. You guys with me? So I believe in this getting pregnant, this pregnancy season, this stretching season, really what was happening was the Lord was molding us and shaping us into champions. Okay? And I can't really describe a champion to you, but I know one when I see one. You know him when you meet him. Right? Joel's a champion. Can you tell? You just know them. You know one when you see one. So in this pregnancy season that Heidegger prophesied, God was making champions. And we had to prove, champions had to be proven by standing firm, by holding on to every last ounce of hope. To believing the Lord, no, Lord, you said this. In all the midst of that trouble in my business, and as hopeless as it got, and as underwater, deep underwater as we went, I believe the Lord put me there and gave me that, and it was my inheritance. So I had to hang on to that sliver of hope, and it took every ounce of my energy to do. And then get up and fight every day and hold off sharks and, you know, deal with situations week after week, month after month, year after year, just hanging on to a shred of hope. Okay? And that was my battle. Oh, and by the way, let me just say that I don't believe, and I'm not saying that we're the only game in town. I believe there's many fine churches in our city that have a heart to see the city transformed, and we're pressing and pushing through at the same time. So don't hear that. But I believe we helped. I believe we helped. So we're all pregnant together, right? All stretched to the max, all in these situations. And then, I'm telling you, there was a shift that happened. And it happened last summer. We can point to the week. We showed the newspaper article again. Here's what happened, okay? All in the same week. LeBron James announced that he was returning to Cleveland. Okay? Now, that's cool, and I'm a Cavs fan. I love it, and woohoo, you know. But you need to understand that what this does for the city, not only is it an injection of millions of dollars in basketball revenue, but he's a cool guy. There's nobody on the planet, I think, that doesn't think that LeBron James is cool. So if LeBron James is coming back to Cleveland and saying all these good things about Cleveland, and I'm coming home, and you know, he got the memo. Ohio's on his heart too. He loves Ohio. But if he's coming back, it's almost like in an instant, Cleveland became cool again. People stopped joking. People stopped making fun of it. Oh, LeBron's back. Okay? So it's huge. The impact was huge, right? Also in that week, we landed the Republican National Convention for 2016. Same week, okay? Here's what that does. Not only is that an injection of tens of millions of dollars the week that they come here, because all the politicians come and spend money, okay? But what it does is it cuts through all the red tape, and it forces our city to get our act together and rebuild itself in the next year and a half. So since they announced that, it's like, all right, guys, we got to stop bickering and let's get to work. And so now they're renovating Public Square and they're redoing all the highways. There's construction everywhere. There's construction like I've never seen it before. So it put a deadline on rebuilding the city. Otherwise, they would have just, you know, gone to meetings for years. It fast-tracked the rebuilding of the city. You see that? In the same week. Another thing happened. I think it was the following week. Now, I want you to stay with me on this one, okay? I don't want to lose anybody here. Just bear with me. Cleveland hosted the Gay Games, the Gay Olympics, that following week. All right? Here's what I want to say about that. Everybody knows what a rainbow is, right? And everybody knows what a rainbow means. It means remember the promise. Remember, because after Noah's Ark, the Lord sent the rainbow and said, remember my promise and my word to you. And that's true. That's what it means. But I believe that's kind of a cliche answer. You know, a rainbow is really God's calling card. It's a beam of colors from heaven. It's a way God says, whoop, that was me. It's his calling card. It's a signature of heaven. It's a stamp. Remember this. It's God. Who else can throw colors out of the sky? That's what a rainbow is. A rainbow is God showing off and saying, I did this. So, I want you to put the next picture up. So what happened during the Gay Games, which was at the same time, is our whole city was covered in rainbows. There were rainbow flags everywhere. That's the terminal tower. It was lit up like a rainbow. Okay? There was, you know, those spotlights, those skylights that shoot into the sky? There was one of those. I wish I had a picture of it. There was one of those of rainbow colors. It was a rainbow beaming into the night sky. Rainbows were everywhere. So I believe that the Lord used that. He used the Gay Games. He borrowed the rainbow. And he covered our city in rainbows. He clothed our whole city in rainbows. And he was speaking to whoever was listening, and he was saying, hey, this is me. Remember me. Remember this time. Remember this hour. This is the hour when the city shifted, when breakthrough came. It was his calling card to whoever was watching. He covered our whole city in rainbows. And the gays thought they were celebrating their rights. Since that time, okay, there has been a noticeable, tangible shift in our city. I'm telling you, it's crazy. When Bill Johnson came and his assistant and they drove through Cleveland, they could not believe how... Has anybody driven up there recently? There's construction going on like I've never seen before in my life. Cleveland is booming right now. It's booming. Okay? There are new restaurants opening all over the place, world-class restaurants. We're getting recognized in magazines for being top ranked in the top 10 for eating and food and all kinds of stuff. We're getting all these accolades. There's billions of dollars of investment coming in from all over the place. There was a shift. A noticeable, tangible shift. And it's booming. Okay? So something happened where our city shifted. We were all pregnant together. It was prophesied. We all got pregnant together. We did something. We got to play a part. We got to help, you know, and it's us giving our five little fish and two loaves to God. If He did it, really, you know, we're silly little characters in it. But He let us play. He let us participate. And a city now has shifted and is rising. Cleveland is rising. As has been prophesied, Cleveland is rising. We're not there yet. We're not done. By no means. This thing is in its infant stages. I personally believe, Scripture says prophesy according to your faith. I personally believe that we had a downturn of 50 years. I believe and I'm prophesying and I will say to you today that we're going to have an economic expansion of 50 years in our city. That's what I believe. That's what my faith allows me to believe and speak out. Prophesy according to your faith. So that means we're just in the infant stage of this. This thing that was birthed is a baby. But it's born. I'm not pregnant anymore. You guys pregnant anymore? I don't feel pregnant anymore. Looking back on it, and that's the thing, looking in hindsight, it all makes sense. It all is seeing the words and the timing and how it all played out. It all lines up and makes perfect sense. And I was pregnant. I was huge. We were pregnant with triplets or something. You know, it was a supernatural pregnancy. And we were pregnant for about 3 years. But man, looking back on it, it was of God. It was of God. So I don't know what the answer is for Marion. I don't know if that's exactly how it needs to happen. I would say it's not. If you guys got to get pregnant, maybe you already are. I don't know. You know. But I'm sharing with you a testimony of a city that shifted. Because I believe that Cleveland is the head and the head is first. And I believe that cities are about to shift. I believe that Marion's, the Lorraine's, the Youngstown's, the Lima's, the Akron's, Canton, that look like ghost towns. I believe they're about to fall like dominoes to the power of God. I believe they're about to be blessed and prosper and shift. And I believe the key to it is the champions. the champions of righteousness, the marked ones. That's another way to, that's just another way to say champions. The marked ones. I believe you're the marked ones. Let me just be blunt. You're the champions. Go out and be champions and watch God shift your city. Every Christian, every believer, I believe every believer has a desire in their heart to see their community, their neighborhood, their city shifted, changed, blessed. It's in our DNA. We all carry it. The key is being a champion. Does that make sense to everybody? Steve, you know, he was pregnant with us too. But I would argue that he was already a champion beforehand, but he's really become a father of champions, a breeder, a champion breeder. Like someone who breeds champion horses or something, I don't know. You know? But let me say again, I believe right now the Lord is looking, He's looking at cities, and He's saying, if I find ten champions of righteous in Marion, I will break through in that city. I will break through in your city. I will bless your city. I will shift the atmosphere, and it will never be the same. I will pour out blessing. I will bless the businesses. I will resurrect it and bring it back to life. If I find that remnant of champions, I don't know what the exact number is, let's say 10. But I believe that's a word. So here's what I want to do. We good? Is everybody good? I want to pray and I want to impart. I want to pray for you. And here's the thing. Becoming a champion, it just starts with a yes. Starts with a yes. Okay? So I want to pray to everybody who wants to respond to that. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the team to come up here with me. And this is going to be an impartation. It's going to be an impartation prayer for champions, for marked ones, for those who want to see and who want to play a role in seeing their city shift by the power of God. Sound good? If I can get somebody to come up and play while we do this, play guitar or play some kind of music, or if they could from the sound booth or something. And if you guys want to come up, if Cleveland wants to come up here. That's you. That's you four. Handsome Daniel, get up here. Yeah, Kim, come on up. Okay. If you want an impartation for a champion, for a marked one, to see your city shift, I want you to come up to the front. Let's form a line up here. Whew. Whew. You want to do a fire tunnel? That's pretty much... All right, we're going to do a champion fire tunnel. That's what we're going to do. Okay, Joel, can you organize it for me? Can you do that? Can you set this thing up?
I guess I want to.
Yeah.
Can we get every... Just us.
Yeah. So we're going to be the fire tunnel, okay? So the five of us are going to be the fire tunnel. You're going to come in through this side. Okay, so we're going to line up right here. And I want a line to start with right you in the red that prophesied over me earlier. You're going to be the first one to come through the champion tunnel. Okay? I'm excited about that.
Mary and Mother Jesus. It just came to me when... we're linked together here.
I can put that on.
It just came to me when Jeremy said, all you have to do is say yes. It came to me, Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit, or when the angel appeared to her and said you would be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And her response was, because in other words, he's saying you're about to become pregnant with a supernatural seed that's going to change the nations. And she said, be it done unto me according to your word. That's the yes. And I feel like we need to say that together regarding whatever town or city you're from, that I'm just going to count to three, and I feel like we need to prepare your heart first of all, and then we need to say, be it done unto me according to your word. Okay, everybody got the place that you're planted right now or where you think God might be taking you? And let's just right now, 1, 2, 3, be it done unto me according to your word. Okay, the seed is going to come into you. You're going to be overshadowed by this. Something is going to happen to you, possibly even when you sleep tonight. There's an overshadowing coming upon you. And Joel just turned to me and, you know, we're talking about pregnancy quickly. And I just said, well, most people would probably not get pregnant the first time, but they knew what they were about to go through. Because there's awkwardness, there's growth, it changes your whole schedule, it changes your priorities, it changes everything. But of course, once you have the baby, as challenging as that is when it comes forth, there's great joy in your hands, and then a season after that. You know, I know this is kind of the theory, it doesn't always happen this way, but it's like you forget somewhat of what you've been through, and you say, let's do that again. So God is beginning a birthing over and over again in champions that are emerging in this room. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. Let's just show our appreciation for Jeremy. Yeah. And I just thank that team. I know some of them are going to be taken off after this. And I just thank Steve and Joel and Kim and Jeremy and Handsome Daniel. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some stuff back there on the table, and I know the Bethel Cleveland folks under Steve's direction has made those declarations and decrees. I've got a couple in my office, and they're powerful because God's word, the prophetic word that's in there, is very powerful. The spoken word's powerful. So let's just all stand for a moment. Let's just thank the Lord for a moment and show our appreciation to Him. One that we gave a toast to. Yeah, He's the one. And I just thank the Lord for the word that He gave through Jeremy today. That you may not be able to describe a champion. May not be able to define one. They all look different. Buddy, when you see one, you can smell them. You can feel them, and you know what they look like. Because they got a mark. They got a mark. I want to have a mark like that. I want to be a guy like that. And you know, His presence is really rich this weekend. And you know, if you didn't want to be that, and if you didn't want to have that mark, you wouldn't be here today either. So Father, we just thank You. We thank You for the opportunity to be champions. You didn't have to design us that way, but You did, and we thank You. So Lord, we just receive Your mark. We receive the destiny that You have for us. Let it sink in deep, and let it not only be for us, let it be for our families, let it be for our businesses, let it be for our cities. We believe, God. Three hours, you know, hang with some people, love on people, get loved on, cry with people, I don't know, but 7 o'clock tonight, it isn't over, we're just stepping in deeper, so come back tonight at 7 o'clock and be blessed and be a blessing.